for coming today, and welcome back. I know you were part of this process a couple years ago, and before we start, I just want to say I know after that process, you had an op-ed in the paper about this process, and I just wanted to tell you I appreciate that, and that was those of us that are kind of immersed in this process always appreciate hearing the areas for improvement for it, and I know that took a lot of courage, and I really appreciate that. I hope I didn't steal anything from you. you understand this process. We'll turn it back to you for opening comments, and 5 minutes or so on why you're seeking this position. We will then have questions from the council, and then turn it back to you for any kind of closing comments, and hopefully within 45 minutes. So
great.
We'll turn it back to you. Welcome.
Great. Thank you. Good morning and happy new year, chair, vice chairs, council members. Thank you for the opportunity to discuss the University of Minnesota Board of Regents. I am really honored to be back here. Again, I'd like to start my opening remarks by telling you the different ways the University of Minnesota has shaped my life. It has really opened doors for my family. It has helped me personally think bigger and think differently, and been an important partner professionally. So let me start by sharing a little bit about my family. My parents both grew up in a lower middle class family in Pine City, Minnesota. Their dads, my grandfathers, went to what they called country school through eighth grade, and then went to work on farming, in the railroad, and then the military. My dad and his brother were the first in the family to go to college, and they went to the University of Minnesota and studied engineering. While at the University of Minnesota, my dad got a co-op with Cargill, which was then a much smaller company, but he went on after college and spent 38 years with Cargill, and as you can imagine, generated some wealth during that time. He then started a small family foundation, and in 2008, we as the Family Foundation were able to endow a chair in renewable energy at the University of Minnesota. He and my whole family were so honored to give back to the U in that way and in so many other ways. In addition, my sister and seven cousins have degrees from the University of Minnesota. So the University of Minnesota has truly changed the trajectory of my family and opened doors for us. As for me personally, the university has played several important roles through my life, starting way back in junior high when I took my math classes through the University of Minnesota Talented Youth Mathematics Program. That program still exists today, and it's known as UMPTIUMP, if anyone else in here speaks geek. So in junior high and into high school, every Thursday, I would commute down to the Minneapolis campus of the University of Minnesota to take my math classes. And that was my first in-depth exposure with the University of Minnesota, and it changed my life. Then, for my senior year of high school, I took advantage of the post-secondary enrollment options and attended the University of Minnesota full-time. I didn't want to be commuting back and forth, so I even lived at Comstock Hall for my senior year of high school. Again, that was a pivotal moment for me as I stepped into adulthood and started thinking about what life could be like. After my year at the U, I studied engineering at MIT. I then went to work for 3M as an engineer, and then later at a tech startup in the Bay Area. I got my MBA from Northwestern University, and then returned to Minnesota as a strategy consultant with McKinsey & Company. At about the time when I was at McKinsey, I transitioned from consulting primarily on for-profit business issues to consulting on community and social sector issues. I was selected to participate in the Humphrey Policy Fellows Program. That cohort convened by the Humphrey School, and the content presented during the program was another pivotal point in my life. It really helped frame my work for the coming years. So for all of the experience, I have so much gratitude to the University of Minnesota for the ways it has shaped and helped set the course of my life. And I know I'm just one person, part of one family, and that this institution has really transformed thousands and thousands of individuals and families across Minnesota. But I also know the university doesn't just matter to individuals, it matters to our state's well-being. As I mentioned in my essay, I have spent the last 12 plus years of my career really working on issues related to economic competitiveness of this state through the Itasca Project and now at the Bush Foundation. This experience has led me to believe that there are few, if any, institutions that matter as much to the state of Minnesota as our land-grant institution. As Minnesota, our key asset is our human capital, and the University of Minnesota is a critical provider of that human capital through the 7,000-some undergrad degrees it confers every year, as well as being the preeminent providers of doctors and nurses and MBAs and PhDs, et cetera. And the U also matters in economic development of our state, certainly through the research and discovery it does, but also through the outreach and community development it does here in the Twin Cities, in Duluth, in Crookston, Morris, Rochester, and beyond. I really can't overstate how important the university is to Minnesota. So, what do I have to offer the Board of Regents beyond this passion for the university's mission? I've spent a long time, years really, thinking about this opportunity. I've talked with regents, I've talked with staff, I've talked with a few legislators, I've talked with a lot of community leaders. And based on this, I'd like to share a few reasons why I think I could be effective as a regent. First, I understand strategy and ask good questions. Second, I'm a strong team player. And third, I bring a statewide perspective. So let me talk a little bit more about those, starting with strategy. I believe a good regent understands the role of governance. I've been on boards, I've worked with boards, I've consulted with boards, and I understand the regent's role is to govern, not manage the university. But the university is a very complex institution and requires the ability to take in a great deal of information, make sense of that, and make decisions. This is something I do well and have great experience as an engineer, as a consultant, and as a foundation executive. I've worked across a variety of fields on a lot of complex problems, and I believe I have the analytical ability to do the regent's role well. I also have experience in the field of education at the governance and strategy level. As an example, during my time with the Itasca project, I worked with higher education leaders, as well as a number of business leaders to consider and think about and strategize on the future of higher education to the state in the state's overall prosperity mission. I also understand that being a good regent takes someone with exceptional teamwork abilities. Hopefully you heard from my references that this is one of my strengths. I understand that a single regent can do very little on her own, that a regent must partner with other regents, with the administration, with the legislature, and with other community leaders to move issues forward for the University of Minnesota. I have a great deal of experience as a foundation leader and as a consultant, needing to work with and through others to get things done. And in fact, that's really how I like to work. Finally, I bring a statewide perspective. As I noted, my parents grew up in Pine City, Minnesota. I still spend a lot of time there. We'll be heading up there on Sunday for one last holiday gathering. I spent my formative years, my school years, in Waconia, Minnesota. At the time, it was much more rural than it is now. Now I live in the metro area, but I spend my days and have for the last, 12 years, really thinking about what's best for the state, constantly asking how can we at the Bush Foundation best serve the state of Minnesota. So that's, to summarize, I think I'd make an effective regent because I understand strategy, ask good questions, I work well with the team, and I have a statewide perspective. So I look forward to spending the rest of our time together talking further about my background and about the University of Minnesota's future. This is an exciting time for the University of Minnesota with many critical challenges ahead. First and foremost, we need to keep the U affordable and accessible for qualified Minnesotans. Second, something that's really important to me is to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion across the institution. And third, there's the opportunity to take advantage of new trends in learning and higher education. But most exciting, I think, this is a pivotal time for the university. We have a strong new president designate, I think that's how we refer to her, who will lead the university in its next chapter. She needs a strong and diverse board who she can rely on and support her in this next chapter of the university. So thank you for the opportunity, Chair and Council members. I know I haven't answered all of those suggested questions in depth, but you asked for 5 minutes or so. So I will stop there and look forward to answering your questions.
Thank you very much. I will start off with the first question. The University of Minnesota is our state's land grant university. What does that land grant mission mean to you, and what do you think it should mean to the people of Minnesota?
Oh, thank you, Chair. That's a great question. The land grant institution started some 150 years ago, I believe, taking a federal asset of that land and making it into an educational asset for the state. And I think a couple of the key things that meant was, one, it was for the common good, right? It was taking this federal land and and translating it into the common good for the people of Minnesota. So not for any, you know, to enrich any individual's life, but to really use education to benefit all. So that's one of the key things. I think that's still really, really important today, that this university is for the common good, to help Minnesota, to help all. I think part of the reason they did that required was to make it accessible, so that people who maybe didn't traditionally have didn't have access to higher education, didn't have those privileges, could access higher education. I think that's still critical to the land grant mission today. And thirdly, part of the land grant, as I understand it, the land grant intention was to think about the skills, the capabilities needed in the state. So at the time, they talked a lot about agriculture, and I think there was some tech and engineering, in there as well. And I think that's still important. I mean, we're still an agricultural state, so that ag piece is very, very important. But I think to be relevant today, the land grant mission should have us looking at what does our state need? What is it we need? What kind of skills and capabilities for the well-being of this state do we need? And that this land grant institution should continue to provide those skills and capabilities to the people of Minnesota.
Council members. Councilmember Menon.
Thank you. Thank you for being here today, Ms. Barman. And for, I think, a very important aspect of being a regent and being on the Board of Regents is crisis management for the university. Mm-hmm. We have faced a myriad of issues in the past few years, and I'm interested in seeing what you think are the most important aspects of crisis management and how that fits into being part of a collaborative governing organization like the Board of Regents.
Thank you for the great question. Really important, and a very important role for the Board of Regents. And the first thing to respond, I would say, is way before the crisis ever happens, right? To be prepared to have a crisis management plan, make sure the Board of Regents and administration and you know, now the new president are aligned on a plan and have some scenarios and work through that. So that's the first thing I think is critical, is preparation. And then what I would expect to be part of that plan is one, a communication strategy. What are the ways the administration and the Board of Regents will work together? I think in most of these situations, there is a war room of some sort where people are together and trying to wrestle down what to do, what are the next steps. I think a very important role of a Board of Regents and of a single regent and of a board is to be unified, right? Don't leave that room until you've agreed collectively on what those next steps need to be. And then speak as a single board on those issues, and hopefully in conjunction with the administration. I understand there may be occasions when you need to differ from administration, but I think that needs to be carefully thought through, planned, agreed upon as the Board of Regents.
Thank you.
Councilmember Carlson.
Yes, you've chaired two search committees for CEOs. You've also helped replace a third CEO. President Gable comes on July 1st. She'll have a sit down individually with each one of the regents. You're a new regent. And she says to you, looking at your bio, you've got to have a lot of good things to share with me. Tell me, what are the three most important things I should think about as a new president?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So first, I think it's important to get to know each other, right? So why would you start
already
there?
Know each okay. other?
So we know each other. Now let's talk about the issues for the University of Minnesota. I highlighted them a little bit in my opening comments, but I think that affordability and accessibility piece is key. You want me to go into the issues?
No. I want you to tell her how to be an effective president.
But thank you. Okay.
Thank you for noticing.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the course correction there. How to be an effective leader of the University of Minnesota. I think she's an outsider, so I think she needs to get to know our state. I think for right and wrong, our state isn't always that welcoming to outsiders, right? What do they say about Minnesotans? They'll give you directions to anywhere but to their homes. I think she's got to get directions to some people's homes. And I do. I think that's important. So I would say, President Gable, go out, meet with people, get to know the state. You got to visit all corners of the state. And I know she did do the tour already, so I think she's on a good start there. But I would say first, that's going to be really important. Get to know us. Second,
I don't know if this is part A, number one, part A and B, but I think getting to know the key influencers then in the region as well, right? So I think it's broad knowledge, but then, you know, getting to know the leaders at the legislature, getting to know the business community and the leaders there, getting to know the key leaders in the, within the institution. I think it's you know, those relationships. I talked about my strengths as a team builder. I think that's going to be really, really important as she takes the next steps at the University of Minnesota. The next thing I would say is, you know, within the first year, she's got to be able to answer the question. So what's the vision, right? Where are we going? Where's the University of Minnesota going? And I think it's on a great path now, but I don't think her answer can be, we're just going to keep doing what we've done, right? She's a new leader at the University of Minnesota. She's got to collaboratively, with input from all those people I talked about, figure out what are the priorities she wants to lead on and make sure the Board of Regents is aligned with her there. So that would be two. And number three, I'll leave it there. I think those are the part one, A, B, C.
Good answer. Thank you.
Council Member Moore.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Candidate Barman, for being with us this morning. You mentioned diversity and inclusion in your opening statement. Obviously, the Twin Cities, as a metropolis, we're a very diverse city, right? In your opinion, what's the role of the U in building a more equitable environment for all people to succeed and thrive? As you probably know, we're one of the worst states in terms of racial equality. Where do you see the U playing a role as a convener, or what's your thoughts on that?
Super important. Thank you for the question. As I mentioned, this is really important to me, and I think important to our state. We are increasingly diverse, and if the University of Minnesota can't effectively serve that our diverse population and people of color, we're not going to reach our potential as a state, and those individuals aren't going to reach their potential. So I think it's super important. The University of Minnesota has many roles in that. First of all, as an educator, right, we need to get all diverse populations as into the student body and then be able to educate them well. I was at the Board of Regents meeting recently when they were looking at the undergraduate statistics for how they're doing on some of those. And there's still, it's still a huge graduation gap between students of color and white students. They still have 75% of African Americans who say their race doesn't feel respected on campus. To me, as a Board of Regent, it is on their priority list. I would keep it on the priority list, because that is a problem. But I would also celebrate the progress. At that same meeting, they showed that six-year graduation rates between Hispanic students and white students have closed. They're graduating at the same rate. And I hadn't seen data like that before. That is really exciting. They also showed data that said one-year retention rates for student of color is actually slightly higher than for white students. So there's progress. There's things to celebrate there. But I think that we need to keep that on the priority list. The University of Minnesota is also an employer, so I think who we hire, who we retain, how we serve faculty and staff who are diverse is really important, and that should reflect the makeup of our state. And then, as you mentioned, the University of Minnesota is also a community member, a convener. They have a platform and a lot of opportunities to address this issue for the Twin Cities and the state at large. So I think it's great. President Kaler was the co-chair of Generation Next, which I've been on the board of, and I think that's a super important role for the university to be showing up at places like that and talking. And he was great about offering the University of Minnesota resources to say, we know some things about this. Here's what we can contribute. We can help look at the data. We have our College of Education that can help contribute to this. So I think it's a super high priority, and that the University of Minnesota has a number of important roles to play there.
Council Member Farrell.
Hi. We began the conversation with Dan mentioning that the last time that you went through this process with us once before, and that you'd written an article op-ed about the process. And I can tell you, this is my second rotation of participating in the council, so I was very new to the process then as well. And when I read the article, and I seen some new faces here at the table, and some of you may remember that experience with some don't, and I wanted to comment on it because when I read the article, what Allison had called out was the lack of diversity amongst us and the lack of diversity on the Board of Regents. And I read it and I wasn't sure, I didn't disagree with what she said, but I wasn't sure her temperament in why she was saying that and if she really had an objection, like I didn't proceed for these reasons. I didn't know. So I reached out to her and said, would you meet me for a cup of coffee? I'd like to understand. So she carved off time and we did together and we went and talked and I asked her about her participation in the process. And it wasn't the angry person I thought I might get at all, or the critical person. It was somebody who was truly saying, this is my observation of the process, and this is, I think it's so a part of who she is as a strategy consultant, to leave behind the process improved, whether she continued in it or not. So these were her observations, and she shared them at Mark. So I appreciated that greatly, and I was impressed. And aside from making that statement, I wanted to give you the chance to sort of comment on how you were determined at that point to teach us all a little something and to do a better, and help us all do a better job.
Thank you for the opportunity, Barb. I appreciate that. And I am absolutely not a bomb thrower, right, trying to just like leave stuff in my wake. I really do care about the process, and I care about the state of Minnesota. And my observation of the process and the outcome, you know, 4 years ago, is that the Board of Regents became less diverse. You know, to have two women on a 12-person board in 2018, now 2019, was really concerning to me. So I wanted to elevate that. And as a strategist, I think so. What are the avenues I have to do that? So I partnered with another candidate, and we wrote an op-ed just to try to elevate that issue. And I think it worked, right? I got a number of conversations out of it. You weren't the only one who reached out. Across a number of, I had a couple legislators be in touch after that. A few other folks who said, yeah, let's talk about this. This really matters. Because I think it does. But you're absolutely right. My intention was to try to improve and leave something better. And I'm back again, right, to try to continue with that efforts to make it better. So thank you.
Councilmember Hipsch.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you so much for joining us today. In your opening, you touched on some of the work you did on policy and the future of higher education with Itasca. Talk a little bit about the partnership that needs to exist between the two major public higher education systems in Minnesota.
Yeah, those were some of the most fun meetings. Thank you for the question, Tim. Fun meetings when we had Chancellor Rosenstone and President Kaler and representatives from the private college system too, all in one room talking about how do we work together as systems, right? What are we each bringing to this table and how can we be more effective? And those were really powerful conversations. So there's a number of different ways, but I think one, understanding from an education standpoint, what are we each bringing really is important. Being clear on that and then understanding how to work together, right? I think there are really great ways now to move from the Minsky system into the university system. In fact, as I understand it, it's one of the best ones around. So I think that's really, really important to be able to work together from the education standpoint. I think at the time, we've worked on some of the back end. How do we do some cost savings by sharing purchasing and procurement across the institutions, which I thought was really innovative and had big opportunities. I don't know how much of that is still going on, but there was a few things they were working on collaboratively from that standpoint. I also think it's important to work collaboratively to raise the profile, right? If we're here at the legislature talking about MinSCU versus the U of M, I think they're both going to lose. So I think being able to collaborate on that and really elevate why higher education matters to the state of Minnesota and that both systems really matter and have something to bring, I think that's a much better position to be in. And then we even talked a little bit about the research angle, too, and certainly the University of Minnesota is the preeminent researcher, but the MinSCU campuses have some research capabilities, too, and there were places of potential partnership there as well. Thank you.
Go to Councilmember Carlson. I think Representative Bernardi had a question, but I
she gave
didn't get
me
to her
question.
Enough,
so she decided that she had to be on a schedule. So she had a two-part question. How will you fit being in the on the Regents in your schedule? Because you're a line manager that reports to a CEO. And we've asked some of the CEOs the same question, and their answer is, I'm the CEO. I control my schedule. Question one. Second question, what contributions do you think that you learn from Itasca and Bush that would be applicable to service on the Board of Regents?
Both great questions. Thank you, Margaret, and Representative Bernardi. Fitting it into my schedule, I've thought a lot about that because I understand that serving on the Board of Regents is a significant time. But I've talked a lot with my president, Jen Ford Reedy, and she is, and who's my direct supervisor, and she's very supportive. She sees this as one way we at the Bush Foundation, can let our people have impact on the region. So she's agreed we'll be flexible. I've talked with my team about it, and we believe we can fit it in professionally, and then some of it, of course, would come out of my personal time as well. And I have a very supportive family who will make the time. So thank you for that question. What have I learned from Itasca and Bush that is applicable to being a Board of Regents? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because now I want to clarify to make sure I understand. Do you think she's referring to content-wise or just what it's like to work with a board? It could go either way.
Mm-hmm. All right, I can talk about both.
I mean, certainly with both Itasca and with Bush, I've learned what a big diverse state this is, right? That there are really varying needs at different parts of the state for different people of the state. So I think having that understanding is really important. I think I've learned a lot about how to work with different people, whether that's geographically or demographically or positionally, and I think that will be really important, certainly in the Board of Regents themselves, who are all different individuals with different skills and capabilities, but also with the people you need to work with across the state of Minnesota, within the administration, with others. I think I've learned a lot, and I'm very adept at working with lots of different types of people. I think I've picked up some content knowledge during that time on education, on economic competitiveness, on the state of Minnesota, on what matters here. I think that is very relevant. I don't know. I could talk a lot about that.
I will pass your information on to her.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Dr. Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe a more specific question. I'm a graduate of the medical school, and my question is specifically related to that. The medical school, or the health sciences, actually are a significant portion of the university budget. Medical school produces around 80% of the practicing physicians in the state. It consistently ranked in the top 10 medical schools in the country going back a couple decades ago. Now we're talking about 35, 38, depending which things you look at. And what things can or should we try to do to improve that standing amongst our colleagues in the country?
Yeah, thank you for the question, Dr. Rogers. This matters. Like you say, most of our healthcare providers, practitioners, come from the University of Minnesota. So if we are having a lower candidate quality school, we're going to have a lower caliber doctors, and this is where we get our health care. And I don't know about everybody in this room, but I intend to grow old in this state, so having good, high-quality health care providers is really important, and if they're going to come from the University of Minnesota, we need to make sure that is a world-class institution for sure. I have mixed feelings on rankings themselves, because sometimes I think they rank things that matter and sometimes not so much, but I think it's hard to argue that there aren't a whole lot of students out there who look at those rankings, and when given the option between a higher ranked school and a lower ranked school, they're going to choose the higher ranked school. So I think that means we probably are losing some potentially very skilled doctors and healthcare practitioners that could and should be in Minnesota. So, to start, I would say it matters. I think the Board of Regents has prioritized it and should continue to keep that as a priority. And so what do we do about it? Well, I think, again, the Board of Regents is governing, so I would certainly want to work with Dean Tolar and President-designate Gable on what's the strategy, you know, what are we going to do there? And at the core, you know, to keep a strong med school, I think we need to have really strong faculty, researchers, doctors there, and we need to be attracting strong students. Okay, so what do we do to do that? Part of it is I think you need to have some stability. I think the new Fairview arrangement provides some new stability as well as some new funding, right? They're going to, as I understand that agreement, which I think just went into effect, they will be providing some additional funding to the med school. So that's a great step towards stability. I think that Dean Tolar, who's been in place a little over a year, there's some stability there, and he seems to have a good vision for the medical school. So that's definitely a step in the right direction. Then I think you need to, they hopefully are, and what I would be asking as a regent is, are we getting the best faculty? Are they staying? Are they satisfied? What are the issues? And I'm not close enough to know that now, but I would want to understand, you know, how are they paid versus others? Are they attracting the research funding? Do they have the facilities they need, right? What is it that's keeping staff here or you know, causing them to leave? Because keeping that world-class faculty is really important. And then the students, how are we going to attract more students? And there's this, you know, vicious cycle in higher ed that you start, your rankings drop, you get lower caliber students, so the rankings drop more, right? And you get in this downward spiral. So I think the strategic question is, where's the best point to intervene? And do that strongly and as soon as you can. And it would seem to me, but again, I would welcome the ideas from the administration, that perhaps a straightforward way to do that is get more scholarships. Right, I know that one driver of medical schools, from a student standpoint, it's a very, very high cost investment from their standpoint. So I believe financial aid can help swing a high caliber candidate from one school to another. So I would work on the budget, work with the University of Minnesota Foundation, and try to figure out how to get direct more scholarship money to high caliber medical students. But again, open to lots of ideas, but I would want to keep this elevated and keep asking those questions because it matters a lot to our state.
Thank you. Appreciate that you've thought about it.
Oh, yeah, it matters.
Vice Chair Taylor.
In the spirit of full disclosure, Allison Barman and I know each other as fellow community volunteers with the Minnesota Cup. Allison is a judge and I'm a mentor, so I want people to be aware of that fact. So you and I have seen a lot of startups in our time with the Minnesota Cup. How do you see the startup community, and what can the University of Minnesota do to support that community? And in particular, are there roles for individuals as regents and then the regents as a body to maintain that strength?
Thank you for the question. Yeah, thank you, Paul. And it's great to work on the Minnesota Cup with you. I think that's another way the University of Minnesota matters to our region, that they run the Minnesota Cup. So the University of Minnesota is very important to the startup entrepreneurial innovation community here in Minnesota. I think they have done great work with the Minnesota Cup, and my experience with the university over the last few years is that they are putting this kind of work more and more front and center, or elevating it. Minnesota Cup is getting bigger every year. I'm seeing more university-based startups coming through. It's really exciting. I think one of the things that's unique and distinctive about the Twin Cities and about Minnesota is the number of large corporate headquarters we have here. And I've seen the university work in that space of connecting startups and entrepreneurship and research with those corporate headquarters. As an example, there's an initiative called Grow North that's again sitting at the University of Minnesota alongside the Minnesota Cup, but that's wanting to expand our food and agriculture leadership. But they're getting funding and working a lot with the corporate leaders here, and then trying to support the research and technology and entrepreneurship activities in that industry. So that's, I think, a neat way to lead. It's what matters. there's always more to do from the university standpoint to make sure we are researching those most critical topics, letting our faculty identify those and pursue those. And then, on the other side, also connecting it to commercialization opportunities. In terms of the Board of Regents and individual regents, I think one thing that is important is just to elevate it, right? To talk about it, make sure it's on the agenda, because it does matter. Most job growth comes from small companies, not from the large corporates, so that's why it matters to Minnesota. So I think keeping that front and center and telling those stories is really important.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A couple more here. Councilmember Menon?
Yeah, I just wanted to actually follow up with something that Councilman Moore asked about with diversity. And you had a lot of great things to say about encouraging diversity for people while they're at the University of Minnesota. But, you know, kind of feeding back into our land grant mission, we serve the entire state. So I want to know your take on how we reach out and how the university has an effect on people who fall by the wayside, people of color who fall by the wayside before they're able to reach an institution of higher learning.
I think there's all sorts of important ways the university can engage. From that standpoint, you know, I talked a little bit about the way that President Kaler has brought resources and brought his presence to Generation Next. I think that's one example of having your leaders engage directly in community. And for those of you that don't know, Generation Next is a collaborative of funders and community leaders and all sorts of folks who are at the table trying to close the achievement gap, so elevating priorities to address the achievement gap here in the Twin Cities. So that's certainly one way. I think I've learned a little bit about the ways the university is reaching out to potential students and trying to start earlier and earlier, and I think that really matters to help people understand what it might be like to go to the University of Minnesota, to access that. So I think that's a really important way, right, that you don't wait until they're ready to apply or they should have applied or whatever it might be, to actually get much, much earlier and talking about that. And then we have a whole bunch of faculty and staff who are working on these issues. So whether that's all across different roles, certainly the College of Education and Human Development, who is working directly with a bunch of schools. And in fact, in some of my work at Bush, I've got to see the way they've transformed the working with schools through their teacher residencies and teacher prep program to really, you know, be in the schools and trying to actually improve the education and close the achievement gaps. So it's important, and there's lots of opportunities for the University of Minnesota.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question.
Councilmember Carlson.
The Board of Regents is small, only 12 people. I know you've attended Regents meetings because I've seen you. How would you describe your style, your temperament, as it relates to the board?
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, I see myself as a strong team player. I'm very collaborative. I want to hear the voices. So I think that's one thing I would describe, right? Wanting I wrote my StrengthsFinder strengths in my application, and a couple of those are inclusion, and I think that really shows up in my leadership and teamwork, is wanting to hear from other people, and alongside that is individualization, which means understanding what each individual is bringing and really wanting to elevate that and lean on that. So those are two things I would point to. I'm also very fact-driven, so I think in a room like that, it's great to hear people's opinions, but let's base them on facts, and let's get the facts on the table and all agree on that and build from there. So I think I would ask a lot of those kinds of questions of what's that based on, what can we see, can we get the data to support that? And thirdly, I'd like to have some fun, so I think I would try to, you know, make meetings enjoyable for everybody. As we talked about earlier, this is a heavy time commitment, so you need to be able to enjoy it and have some camaraderie with people around the table.
Councilmember Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mentioned the university is a major driver of economic development, and you've had some experience in the economic competitiveness. if we're not going to continue to increase tuition to pay the bills, what resources can we look forward to developing from the university?
I really appreciated hearing President-designate Gable talk about her experience with I think she referred to them as revenue-generating models, and I think that's going to be critical to look at new and different ways of bringing revenue in, because I think you're right, it's not going to be an increase in tuition. And in Minnesota and across the country, state legislatures are giving less and less to their state institutions over time. So that's, you know, I don't think we're going to expect to see a big increase there. So I think the institution needs to be looking at new and innovative ways to generate revenue. I talked earlier about one of the uniquely distinct things of Minnesota and the Twin Cities are all the corporate, the large companies that are based here. So that to me is one. Do we understand both from the research and innovation and tech commercialization side, but as well as the professional development? I was talking with my husband about this, who works at Boston Scientific, and you know the budget he has to pursue development is not small, and he's never once taken a class at the University of Minnesota. But really, it's things like that, right? How do we use the lever those corporate offerings that they have, and we should be meeting those needs. I'm sure that there, President-designate Gable will have other ideas on how to, use the assets that the university has and try to generate more revenue from them, and that's what's going to be critical to make the costs meet revenues, which will be important.
Okay, last question, Councilmember Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In your application, you did mention your strength finders, and one of those, one of the first ones was your wooer, winning others over. My question is, how do you continue to show up and lead effectively when you're not winning others over?
That is a great question. I think some of my other strengths probably complement that because of this individual and includer. I really tend to listen, and yeah, I may have a viewpoint, and if I really believe in my viewpoint, I will certainly come at it a few different ways and go back and try to figure out facts and what's the ways you're going to influence people and how are we going to convince them. And if I'm not convincing them, I think I need to take another look and say, like, maybe what are they seeing that I'm not, right? What are they bringing, that individualization, that inclusion, that can be right? What are they bringing that I'm not seeing? And try to push myself to really understand that. And if I'm still not convinced, I think I would probably, try again. But I think you gotta be willing to see other viewpoints as well.
That brings us to the end of our questioning. We'll turn it back to you for any kind of closing thoughts or comments you'd like to make.
Absolutely. So first, I just want to thank you for the opportunity, Chair, Council members. I'm really honored by this opportunity. I really appreciated the conversation. I thank you for inviting me back. I know there are a lot of strong candidates in the mix, so I'm just grateful for the chance to tell you more about me. I'm going to close with the same story I closed with last time because I just think it does demonstrate my capabilities well. This was when I was talking with the head of a local corporate foundation, and she said to me one time, when I show up at a meeting and I see you in the room, I always breathe a big sigh of relief. And what I think she meant by that is when I'm there, she knows I'm going to be thoughtful. I'm going to ask the tough questions. I'm going to help move the group forward and get to a good decision. And that's what I would bring to the Board of Regents if I were elected to be a regent. So thank you again for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.